Anyway, tonight, hold on to your seats. Let's get into some light here. That's better. Okay. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you again for tonight, and we just love you, Father. We thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. We thank you that you are our Daddy, that we can cry unto you, Abba Father, and say tonight, thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. It's all because of him that we stand here tonight and preach and teach the Word of God, because of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, I just thank you tonight, as you are the head of the church, and you've sent the mighty Holy Spirit to our lives to help us and teach us and lead us and guide us. I acknowledge you, Spirit of the living God, as the great teacher, the one who brings prophetic utterances and revelation and wisdom and understanding, because you are all of those things. So I yield myself to you and ask you tonight again for that spirit of wisdom and revelation, that your people may be blessed with that wisdom and insight how to walk this stuff out, Lord. That this wouldn't just be another teaching, Lord, but this would be something that would be impartation, that would cause transformation within their life, that their lives would be so changed, Lord Jesus. They would know how to reign in life with you, Jesus Christ, and reign in life well to overcome all things. So I give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just love the Word. I'll tell you, I just love the Word of God. We were actually, Pastor Scotty from Auckland there, a friend of mine, you know, for the last, 2 years now coming up, isn't it? 2 years. And he's over in Whakatane, he just hooked up with his, he says, I'm coming tonight. I says, great. And then, again, blessed again with Ryan, as I said last week. We are so blessed that we are so blessed because we've got people run about us that we just build the kingdom with. And that's what we are doing. And that is our purpose, is to build the kingdom, to build the kingdom. And I say build the kingdom, I'm talking building the people of God. Because there is no kingdom without the people of God, right? It's the people. It's God in the people doing great things on this earth. And if you remember some of the statements I made at the beginning was that, you know, we sing songs and I love these things. How great is the Lord and how greatly to be praised, because you connect with him and you start to see and you start to get insight of his goodness and his greatness and all those things. But I know that I know that I know that he wants to show his greatness in you and through you. In you and through you. He wants to do great things in you and through you, so the world can know that he is alive. That he is alive. That Jesus is risen. That Jesus has paid a price. You see, if you come to the place in your life where you are conquering things, where you are overcoming things by the power of the Spirit of God, rising up inside as a new creation in Christ Jesus, taking the promises of God, believing the promises of God, and taking those challenges, and being like David. You know, David ran towards the giants where other people were pulling back and were in fear because they didn't know who they were. They didn't know who they were. But David spent much time in the presence of his Heavenly Father, in praise and in worship in the outback. And he got to know who he was and who his God was. And so when problems arise in David's life, he didn't back off. He ran towards. He ran towards. He ran towards. But it was God in him running towards those giants. And he knew it. Nobody runs towards a giant with a little stone and a little piece of string. He knew his God. And what did he do? See, we were taught in the car over here like this. See, this new creation reality that we are talking about tonight, again, you got to understand this one thing. Understand many things, but understand this one thing, is what I'm going to say tonight, is this. The new creation reality speaks a language. Your spirit man has to learn a language, right? And this language is the language of faith. David spoke it, right? When you look at the stories of David and you look at the Psalms of David and you look when he ran towards the giant, this day I'm taking your head from you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, right? He used what he knew, the word and the praise that his heart was full with. and he spoke a language. He spoke a language of victory. He spoke a language that would overcome. His victory was already wrought before he even got there. Because he said to the king, hey, I'm your man. I'm your man. I'll do it. When they're all in fear, see, fear, intimidation. That's what the enemy likes to do, fear, intimidation in people's lives. But when God comes and you get to know who you are in Christ Jesus, that boldness, that righteousness, that justice rises up inside of you as a new creation in Christ Jesus and steps into that realm and says, hey, today your head's coming off. Today the mountain's coming down. Today the walls are about to fall and I'm about to go in and get the booty that my Father's promised me. Amen? That booty, right? We have to go in and get the booty. That means the goodies, right? God didn't put all this stuff in the earth. People, God didn't put all this gold and silver and diamonds and wealth in the earth for the devil's bunch to have it. To cause destruction and evil and squash and cause hunger and starvation. No, God put all that stuff in this earth to bring it to the body of Christ. So the body of Christ can write, listen, no vision. I don't care how great your vision is in life. No vision will ever be accomplished without the finances to accomplish that vision. It doesn't matter how great the vision is. If there's no provision for the vision will never come to pass. God will always, always bring the provision when we press in. And that's why I believe this teaching is so profound. Because when we know who we are in Christ, we can step into that realm of faith and say, hey, the circumstances might be against us. The walls might look up. Our feelings might be speaking to us. Our emotions might be, you know, bumping all over the place in our head, our soulical man. But our spirit arises to the occasion and starts to decree and declare and speak the language of faith. Whereas my God is the one who supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God says, when I sow into the kingdom of God, that he with good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall pour into your life. See, it's all language. It's language. You speak the language of faith. The spirit man speaks the language of faith. It's the language of victory. You are victors. You are overcomers. But just sometimes we don't know it. And that's where the enemy catches us out, as we don't know it. In fact, in Isaiah it says, my people perish for the lack of what? Knowledge. And the word knowledge there means redemptive revelation of who he is. Redemptive revelation of who he is and also who you are in him. They perish. Not because they don't love God. There's many people who love God and they're perishing. Because the word has never penetrated their life and their hearts. We had a woman on Thursday night. Been to two of my classes now. Second class, she came on Thursday night there. And the first class she came and she sat there. At the end of it, we were packing all the stuff away and whatever. And she's just sitting there with her eyes closed. And I just left her. And then afterwards, she told me, like this week, she says, I hope, you know, she don't think that I was sitting with my eyes closed. She said, I was sitting there. There was that much in this stuff. She said, I just had to sit there and meditate on what was actually being said tonight. The second class, she says, I don't get it. She'd been a Christian for years. She says, I don't get it. She says, how this stuff has not been preached. She says, our lives have been so changed by this life, word of God. And all that I said to her, look, people can only teach what they know. They can only, so you can't look back and you can't blame anybody, right? You can only thank God for what, see, you've always got to look now to what God's given you now, because faith is now. Just thank God for what God's given you now. Hey, you're in the time and you're in the season and God will make up what the canker worm has stole. So I say that all to use. God will make up what the canker worm has stole when you start to walk into this realm of dominion and authority that who you are in Christ Jesus, because your God loves you and wants to restore everything back to your life that the enemy stole from your lives. Amen. Okay, revision from last week. Through the new birth, we are spiritually alive to God because he has dealt with us on a spiritual basis first. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're born again, your spirit is recreated instantly. Instantly. It's recreated in the likeness and the image of God. You have his nature, you have his DNA the minute you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And as I said last week, and I'll keep on saying these things, you are no longer the old person. You are no longer, the old man is dead. The spiritual nature that you had before you knew Christ is dead. Christ crucified that, nailed it to the cross. He became that sinful nature. He never sinned, but he became sin. He never sinned. He became sin. There's a difference. He became sin. Because you remember on the cross, the minute that he became sin and he was on the cross, the first thing he made, Jesus makes a statement. And this is powerful. Jesus made a statement. He turned around and he says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? That was the first time that he ever called him God. It was always Father. It was always Father. It was always intimate. The minute he became sin, the Father had to turn his head away at that point in time, because that's what sin does. Sin separates us from what? From a relationship, from our Father. So we had that sinful nature. Christ never had the sinful nature, but he became sin, and Father turned his head away and he says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? At that point in time. Why? Because he was your substitute. He, Jesus, was your substitute. People are trying to be the substitute. You'll never be the substitute. Jesus has already been the substitute. He's already paid the price for sin. He's already paid the price for disease, sickness, and death, and poverty, and lack, and everything else. He has paid the price for it. But after 3 days, hell was shaken. And the Son of God rose. The Son of God rose, could death, oh death, where is thy sting? Death, where is thy sting? Death could not hold on to him because he never sinned. He only became sin for the purpose of mankind. And when he rose from the dead, he conquered the grave, hell. And it said, the Bible said he took the keys of the grave and death and hell. He took the keys. Now these are the keys that we're talking about tonight. Keys are things that open doors. The new creation reality teaching is keys that opens doors for your life till you step into the realm with God. You have keys to walk into the place of victory. You walk through the doors of victory. Because Jesus has already accomplished it, people. He's done it at Calvary. The devil's been defeated. He's a defeated foe. But he's running around seeking whom he may devour through lies and deception when people don't know who they are. But God is causing the body to rise up because he's bringing the knowledge by revelation that who you are in him. So we must understand the basic difference between our spirit and our soul, the body, before we can overcome our problems in life. So let's have a look at some of the stuff. We must grow spiritually. Before we can experience the fullness of God's best in our lives, we will have to develop and grow spiritually, right? So we have to develop. We talked about the young person last week, you know, and their two-year-old, you know, babies. You know, you don't expect a baby to change its own nappies, do you? If you do, there's something wrong. We need to counsel you, right? Okay. But once you get into, you know, that the baby's 5 and 6, you don't expect that baby to be running around in nappies, right? At that point in time, they should be trained, right? Train a child and they should go and never depart. Same thing spiritually, right? We're talking spiritually. You can use these different things. Children growing up, developing. We have to develop. Our spirit man has to be developed. It's amazing how we spend, you know, people can spend thousands of dollars on their body to look good and gyms and all the rest of it, and thousands of dollars on education in their mind, and their spirit is laying lame. I'm talking Christians. Because if you're not born again, your spirit, you've got a spirit, but you just don't have that connection with God. But even as Christians, right, our spirit man needs to be developed. And it can only be developed through the revelation knowledge of Christ Jesus and who he's made you to be. The word is what empowers your spirit to develop and grow. When you believe it and you speak it and you act on it. Acting on the word will cause you to grow. Acting on God's word will cause you to grow. When your flesh wants to say the wrong thing or have an argument and your spirit man starts to rise up because you've been placing the love scriptures in your heart and your spirit man, and your spirit's feeding on the love chapters. And see, people say, what do I feed on? Feed on the very thing that you need. If you're struggling to walk in the love realm, feed on the love scriptures. The love scriptures has the potential and the DNA in it to empower your spirit for you to get a revelation of love and strengthen you in that arena, that you'll not step in to the ugly arena. where the enemy will take you to task. You will stay in the love realm. Because why? Because God is love. And love is God. Well, guess what? So are you people. Because you are a new creation. That means you have the love nature. So we must grow spiritually. We must study to grow understanding about the new creation. Our spirit man is made up of a composite of several things, right? So the first thing we'll look at just now is intuition. Through your spirit, you can know evil that nobody else knows anything about. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. A few years back, I was in Kilwaro. I was doing a job in Kilwaro, and I had to go into this person's house, right? I was working for Bet Electrical at the time. I had to go in and do some stuff in his house. And I walked in to the back bedroom. And as I walked into the back bedroom, all of a sudden, oh, intuition. Oh, there's something not right in here. There's something wrong. There's something just not right in here. It was ugly. It just felt ugly. There was just something not right. My head couldn't comprehend it. My soulical man could not comprehend what I was sensing deep down in my spirit called into it. You know, you've heard women have intuition, right? Because there's something about women that God's just made women more gentle, right? More sensitive to men, right? And in a lot of different areas, you know, like a man will be sleeping in his bed at night and the baby's crying, the man not hearing a thing. You know, he's just, you know, sleeps through the whole thing. The woman just hears one little crackle, she's up, she knows the voice of her child. There's sensitivity that women have. They call it intuition. Right, so this intuition is part of your spirit man. So I walked into that room and I just knew intuition. It was like, there's something wrong. There's something not right. So me, I just took my little eyes and started scanning around the room in this room. Right, and all of a sudden, here on this desk was a book on witchcraft in the room. Right, so what was in that room? What we're saying here, you know, intuition, your spirit. Through your spirit, you can know evil and nobody else knows anything about. I walked into that room and I knew that there was evil in that room. I knew there was just something not right in that room. And it was whoever was in that house was involved in witchcraft. The witchcraft books were in that room. Your spirit can know things that your head doesn't know. Your spirit knows things that your head just doesn't know. Your head takes a little bit of time catching up what's in your spirit. Especially men, right? Especially men. But we're training men. That's why we're doing these teachings. We're training men to be men of the spirit, to be men, to be more sensitive to your inwardmost man, to your spiritual being. So, intuition. There's things that we can know. B, through intuition, you can meet a person and know more about him than the person knows about himself. You remember when Jesus met Nathanael? And he came to Nathanael and Jesus made a statement to him, says, a man without guile. Remember when Jesus says that to him? And Nathanael goes, how, you know, you don't even know me. Oh, Jesus knew him. Jesus walked in a realm, right? Jesus had spirit, soul, and body was lined up. Jesus walked in a realm out of his inmost being. He knew things supernaturally, right? Now, the Bible says we're supposed to be transformed and conformed to the likeness of Christ, right? That's what it says in Romans. So this is all attainable. It's attainable. He gets into the presence of somebody, he knows that person's heart. He knows. It's like you get into, we start to train people in this stuff, and you start to get strength in your spirit, and you're involved in business, and you get into a business deal, and on the outside, they're telling you it's great, it's fantastic, it's working, all the books look great, but there's something inside telling you, no, listen, there's something wrong with us. If you don't listen to that intuition, especially if you're born again, you don't listen to that intuition, that's when things happen and go wrong. On the outside, it looks great. And I've heard many stories of like that. Many stories. They never listened. That intuition. They knew there was something wrong, but on the outside, they were being conned. But if you listen to that spirit man, that intuition, God wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to protect us through intuition, through that part of that spirit man. You will know evil and goodness by coming into its presence, like I did walking into that room, right? Or like when Jesus walked and he walked into that person's life and a man without guile. He just knew his heart. He knew what was in the guy, what the guy was about. Intuition works in spiritual things and leads you to the knowledge of God. You just know that you know the things of God. in your spirit. There's things, listen, when I first got born again, when I knew nothing from nothing, and not that I know a lot now, I know a little bit, right, to what I did back then. But when I knew nothing from nothing, green behind the ears, when I first got saved, I had no idea what had happened to me. I didn't know I was a spirit, right? I had no idea that I was a spirit being. I just got saved, right? Salvation, I got saved. That's great. Okay, I'm going to heaven, right? I got saved. Hadn't been to church for 3 months, but I got saved. I hadn't been to church. And all of a sudden, I'm still doing the same things, and I'm at parties. And still partying. Still dropping LSD. Still smoking marijuana. Still at these parties. 3 months in the Lord, when I was first saved, right? Nobody got me to church. Nobody got me sinning. That's why, you know, the most special, you know, I said this on Friday night, I'm telling you, the most precious thing that God's placed within your life is one, is Jesus, the Son. But other than that, it's pastors in your life. Without a pastor, you can be a disaster. I'm telling you. Because a pastor is a gift to the body of Christ to protect you and help you and give you wisdom through the word of God to help your life. Yes, we've got to outwork our own salvation, but we need anointed pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets to plant the word into our life so that we can apply that word so that we can be successful. So I was in that for 3 months. But when I was in those places for 3 months, still doing those things, that intuition, it was like a knowing, like, I don't belong here any longer. Couldn't comprehend that in my mind, thinking, why am I thinking like this? Right? I've done these things for a few years. Why am I thinking like that? Why? Because that was going on inside of me. My spirit man is trying to get a message across to the thick brain at that point in time. Right? The solical man had done those things, was in charge for so long. The solical man. And I'm sitting there thinking, having thoughts are floating upside of me going, you don't belong here, man. This is not you. Why? As I said to you, I think, 2 weeks ago, when we taught this new creation life for 7 months, and this woman says she got freed from smoking instantly after being sitting under this teaching for a few months. Why? Tracy says, because your spirit doesn't smoke. I mean, it's a gem. I mean, that's what a woman says. She says, I've struggled for smoking for years and felt condemned for years. See, condemning yourself does nothing, people, because Christ won't condemn you. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. He's talking to this new creation. He's talking to the new creation man. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. He's talking to the person that he created you to be. There's no condemnation. So I'm in that, doing that stuff. So that woman, that night, she says, struggled for years, and all of a sudden, a big smile on her face, she goes, I've stopped smoking, and it was so easy. It was so easy. She says, for the first time, I'm taking charge of my own life. What she was saying was her spirit was arising and strength and victory and taking charge over her flesh, thinking flesh, and over her carnal mind and telling her body and her mind the way it's going to be, right? And then Tracy says, in other words, you're a revelation that your spirit doesn't smoke. So that night that I was doing the drugs, I should have got the same revelation. My spirit doesn't take drugs. That was my flesh and my solical man that was enjoying the party at that point in time. But with the repercussions of the come down afterwards. It's a dark world, I'll tell you. The drug world's a dark world. So intuition. All babies are born with intuition when they come into the world and they're born with a free personality. Why is that? Because babies are born alive unto God. Right, it is God who gives the life to every person. See, when you're born, you've got two natures living inside of you. You've got the spiritual nature, and you've got the Adamic. They call it the Adamic nature. The Adamic nature is the carnal man, right? The solical man that we got from Adam. That's why there had to be a virgin birth. Do you get that? Because every man that came from Adam, right, through one man, sin, all the way through from Adam. Why? But it was talking about the carnal man. It was talking about the DNA of the carnal man. But when a baby is born into this earth, God still breathes the life into that baby, and the baby is alive unto God. It's not till a further down the road that sin revives in the carnal man and slays. That's why it says born again. Born. That means you were already born unto God alive when you were born. Because he's the one. See, God is the one that gives you the breath of life. He's the one that gives the spirit into the body. Your mother and the father gave you the physical man, right? The seed of man and woman, the physical man, but it's God who gives the life, the spirit, into mankind. So it's not until further down the road that the spiritual man basically gets separated from God, because then the sinful man kicks in, knows right and wrong, starts to sin, death. And that came from Adam's nature. They call it the Adamic nature. So that's why you have to get born again. Spiritual new nature in Christ Jesus. So Christians have an advantage over everybody we meet. We have the power. We have a power there called understanding. Understanding what? See, in Proverbs it says, with all you're getting, get understanding of spiritual things. Get understanding. With all you're getting, he says, get wisdom and get understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding of who you are in Christ. Understanding how to speak the word in the situation. Understanding, knowing who you are and who God is. You've got to understand, because if you don't understand, the enemy comes and he steals from you. When you don't understand, I've worked with guys over the years that they've not understood. They're born again, spirit-filled Christians, and they have not understood who they are in Christ, and the enemy has robbed and stole from them over the years. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he does it through our ignorance. He does it through our ignorance of the knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus and who our God and our Father. Our Father is a loving Father. Our Father loves you. Our Father will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Get that straight. He'll never leave you and never forsake you, because he's in love with you. He created you. You're his masterpiece, Picasso. You are his masterpiece. Created in his likeness. You are his masterpiece. But he's revealing it by his spirit and through his word. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. Come on. You know, you see the jigsaw puzzle? You got to keep going back to what? Back to the front of the box, right? You see all these pieces all over the place and you're like, my goodness, how does this all fit together? You know, look, it's all over the place. And then you keep looking at the picture, right? You keep looking at the picture and then you start building the borders. And then bits and pieces start coming together and then all of a sudden it all starts coming together. But you have to keep looking to the picture. People, you have to keep looking into the picture. You have to keep looking into the mirror. This is the mirror of the Word of God. Like it says in James. I know I've said it, but I'm saying it again. Don't be like the man who looks in the mirror, walks away, and forget what it looks like. This is a lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. You've got to continually look into and use those scriptures. Look into those scriptures and see who you are on a daily basis. This is your mirror. Your mirror isn't what people say. Your mirror isn't what the circumstances say. Your mirror isn't how you grew up or what family you came up in. Your mirror is who he says you are. This is your mirror. Forget what other people say. Believe in him and your life shall prosper. Believe what he says about you. How do you believe? Simple. You take the word, the scriptures, and you start speaking them over your life. And it'll get inside of you, and it will turn into a belief that will be so strong that you'll be unshakable and unmovable in Christ Jesus. Rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus and established in the faith, it says in Colossians. Established in the faith, in the word, believing and speaking according to what he says, not what the enemy says. Lying, deceiving, echoes of the past. Stop listening to the echoes of the past and stop letting the echoes of the past determine your future. Start getting the word of God and speaking your future. And let that become the echo in your life, resounding within your spirit. So through this power, we understand people's feelings. That others will not know. So communion. Your spirit is the center of communion, not your brain. Your spirit, not your brain. Man may try to have communion with God through his brain, but he will not get very far. God does not respond to the brain. The Bible says by wisdom, men knew not God. God's talking about natural wisdom. Look at that. You can see that in Corinthians. It talks about all of us, right? Corinthians. By their wisdom, they knew not God. Come on. Hippocrates and all the great Greek scholars and all the rest of it, right? Paul, you know, trying to convince them on that mount. Because all the great scholars, by their great wisdom they thought that they had, they knew not God. So if it was through man's knowledge, right, all those great philosophers and whatever would have been much further on down the road, and those people who were ignorant of even education would have no chance. It doesn't operate like that. God gives every person equal opportunity in Christ Jesus. Once you get born again, he gives every person his word. He gives every man the measure of faith. Every single man that received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior gives every man the measure of faith. But then you have to build it. You have to build your faith. You have to build your conversation. You might only know one scripture. Oh, I'm more than a conqueror. That's great. Keep on saying it. But build your vocabulary. Build your conversation. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm anointed by the Holy Ghost and power. That's who I am in Christ Jesus. I am anointed. Build your vocabulary. Because the Holy Ghost moves with the vocabulary of faith. The Holy Spirit is waiting for that vocabulary, waiting for that faith language that comes from the innermost being that gets inside of you. Ooh, I want to go on a trail there, but I can't. I need to move on, or I'll get the jando tonight. Hallelujah. I'm talking about my wife for the tapes. conscience. Another area of the Spirit is conscience. Why can sinners do so many things that are bad and keep what they call a good conscience? Your conscience is different from other people's conscience, right? A born-again person has a different idea. Now remember, we're still talking about your spirit, right? These are different aspects of your spirit, right? So keep that in mind from that last page. So your conscience. So the born-again person has a different idea about the whole life than anybody else through his conscience that God has given him. Sometimes people have what we call a seared conscience. It is burned out, worn out, and not used. Come on. There's things that I did when I was a sinner, right? I'm no longer a sinner saved by grace. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? I was a sinner saved by grace. But while I was yet a sinner, I could do things and just carry on. It didn't bother me, right? Now, there's levels of that, believe me, because people get brought up in a lot of good families and a lot of good stuff gets going into their life and good principles, and that holds them to a degree. To a degree, I say. Because the flesh is the flesh. Even Paul says, I put no trust in the flesh. I put no confidence in this flesh. Even where he was, in Christ Jesus, I put no confidence in the flesh, because you could turn around and that flesh will bite your backside. That flesh will just, you know, that's why you have to keep your flesh man crucified on a daily basis by the things that you believe and the things that you speak. And that's how you stay crucified. You keep your flesh crucified by speaking who you are in Christ Jesus. So, there's things that I could have done now. I mean, I'm driving the car. Did I tell you the story last week? No, it must have been Friday night. I was driving the car going to church on Sunday. This person just came in and just cut me off. And I was like, right? My flesh ready to respond. And inside, my spirit man's going, don't you do that. Don't you do that, right? Conviction, not condemnation. God never condemns you, but he will convict you. Right? But your spirit will speak to you. And my spirit was like, don't go there. Don't do that. You teach this stuff. So God was giving me the jando big time. I was getting the jando and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, Lord. Right? Just get on with it. Bless them. Love them. Right? But my wife used to tell me anytime, you know, why bother even shouting in the car? Do you think they can hear you? No. They can't hear a thing you're saying. So why are you getting upset? That's the flesh, man. That's the solical man. Spirit man says, stay in peace. Come on. What was that? Open the window. That's right. You know, open the window. Yeah. Open the window and speak. Love you, bro. Love you, bro. So sometimes people have had a seared conscience, burnt out, worn out, or not used. Now, 1 Timothy 4:2 says this, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, right? Now, watch what this means. Seared means to render insensitive. This can happen to Christians. What happens is that we override our conscience by our flesh, and eventually we become dull of hearing spiritually. If you keep going against that small, still voice that's inside of you, that intuition, that consciousness that tells you, don't speak to your wife like that. Don't go there. Don't say that. If you keep ignoring that, what happens is you become dull of hearing and your flesh man, your solo command will just dominate you. And you'll just act like an old, ungodly dog, barking all the time. Right? Barking all the time. Every situation, right? I mean, I grew up in a home. I'm saying this. I had my father done the best that he could. My natural father, he did the best that he could, right? And you know, and I said to that woman on Thursday night, they done the best that they could. And they were Christians, right? But they could only teach you as far as they could teach you is what they knew. My father didn't know none of this stuff, right? He was a fleshly man, a spirit, but a spirit was separate from God. Didn't know God until later on in years. And every time there's something happened, he just blew up. Everything was a problem, right? You learn those things. They're learned behaviors. So I sat up, I actually sat under that stuff, right? And then down the road, years down the road, even as a Christian born again and learning this stuff, God started to speak to me and he says, look, as you beheld your natural father, your Adamic nature father, as you beheld the patterns, how he used to respond to things, that's why you've been responding to things when you get under pressure. But then he said a profound thing to me. My father, my daddy, he said to me, but if you will behold me, if you will behold me, if you will behold me and you will look at me and let me reveal myself to you and who you are in me, you will start responding differently in life. You will start responding differently in life. It's not about works, people. It's not about works. You can't. Flesh can't beat flesh. Your flesh. I'm making a new year comes. That's it. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. You know, 24 hours, boom, you've blown it all. Right? Because you've put laws on yourself. Right? I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to eat that. I'm not going to drink that. You put laws on yourself and you end up doing it within 24 hours. Flesh can't beat flesh. The only thing that can beat your flesh into subjection is your spirit man arising strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That means strong in the word. The word strong in your spirit is strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, we've quoted those scriptures. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What does that really mean? It means the word is dwelling in you richly. And you're strong in the word, and the word is so powerful, it's empowering you as your innermost being, and it's helping you to overcome the situations in life. Because you're not yielding to the flesh and causing havoc. What happens when we override our conscience by our flesh, and eventually, what happens is that we override our conscience by our flesh, and eventually become dull of hearing spirits. Like Galatians 3:3 says, you are so foolish, right? This is Galatians. You are so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? See, we can start off in these things, and you can become. I've seen people over the years had this same teaching that I've got, walking this stuff, and then got around away from the people that spoke it, that lived it, that activated it. They got around the company that spoke the stuff, and within a short time, they were just living like that old Adamic man again. Why? Listen, that's why Paul says, the just shall live by faith. That means this is a lifestyle. Just come to the fact that this is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. Walking as a new creation is a lifestyle. It's not about works. It's about acknowledging who you are and who he's made you to be and just enjoying the journey, enjoying the relationship, and thanking and worshiping him for who he's made you will cause you and empower you to walk in it. Right? Because he wants us to walk in this stuff. So they didn't. They went from walking and seeing miracles and signs and wonders, and they get themselves back under the law, and they were going back under the law and their flesh and their puffed up minds. Did you start in the spirit? Paul deals with all this stuff in Galatians. We can begin to recognize in the study that man is a complex creature who has the potential to reach great heights in God or great depths and despair and confusion. The Holy Spirit, in confusion, the role of the Holy Spirit indwells the believer through the new birth. Because the complex nature of man, Jesus told us he would not leave us alone, but he would be our helper. So, do you think God expects you to do this on your own? No. He recreated you, he's like this in his image, he's given you a new nature, but then he sends the Holy Spirit to your life, and he's called the helper. Come on. How many people do you hear talking about Jesus at the right hand of the Father and how much, come on, and have a relationship with Jesus, right? How many people do you hear talking about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit? He is God, the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they're three in one. He is God, the Holy Spirit. He's not a thing, he's not a gnat, he's not a dove. He came as a dove. It was a picture of the gentleness of the dove. He is God, the Holy Spirit. He speaks. He creates. He empowers. In fact, if you look in Isaiah 11, verse 1 and 2, it talks about the spirit of might, the spirit of power, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding. That's who he is. So you have to develop relationship with him. Because he's the one that empowers you, empowers your spirit man to rise up strong in him. But he always leads you to the word. Holy Spirit will not lead you outside the word. He came to lead you to the word of God. People saying, I've heard stories like along the lines of, you know, well, I know the Holy Ghost told me I have to divorce my wife because there's a nicer woman over here. Sure, buddy. That ain't the Holy Ghost, right? What spirit are you listening to, right? Holy Ghost will always bring you back to the word. That's where your stability is. So he is... John 14, 6, 17 says, and I will pray the Father, he will give you another helper. Another helper, why? Because Jesus was with them at that point in time. But then he says, I will send another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. Jesus was prophesying to them at this point in time. He dwells with you, but he will be in you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them to empower them. But in the New Testament, that's why we have a better covenant. He doesn't just dwell with us. He dwells in us. He's in us. And that's what Jesus was prophesying here when he was talking to his disciples. Because remember, they hadn't born again yet. He hadn't been to the cross. Oh, they were believers, but they weren't born again. He says the Holy Spirit is with you, but he will be in you. He's prophesying to them. The Holy Spirit lives in harmony with and operates through the born-again nature of man. God has come to dwell in his creation and has ministry functioning in man in various areas. He is the teacher. John 14 and 26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance things that I have said. He, God, the Holy Spirit. Do you think that I'm that clever that I can remember all these scriptures that pours out of me? Do you think I'm that clever? I'm telling you, this isn't just about memory. This is about getting the word of God into your spirit. This isn't me trying to memorize scriptures, but you have to speak the scriptures. You have to keep on speaking and speaking them. We call it memory, but I'll tell you what really happens is when you're speaking, it gets in your mouth and it drops into your heart. It gets in your mouth and it drops into your spirit, man. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance that word that's in your spirit. He'll bring to remembrance the word that's in your spirit. If there's no word in your spirit, it ain't going to come out. He's come to speak the word. He's come to teach you. 1 John 2 and 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, let me just clear something up here, right? Because this is a very controversial scripture in the Bible that people use for their own little means, right? Now, listen to this. People say, oh, I don't need that any man teach me because I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. The Holy Spirit teaches me all things. No, you take everything in context, right? Let me ask you tonight. Who do you think is teaching you tonight? Do you think it's me? Do you think it's this little guy from Scotland, from Glasgow, that grew up with no great education? Do you think it's me that's teaching you? It's God in me. It's the Holy Spirit in me. So who's teaching you? The anointing. You're sitting under the anointed teaching of the Holy Spirit. He, God, the teacher who dwells within me. That's why I always open up in prayer and acknowledge him, because he's the teacher. I'm just yielding myself to him and flowing with him as much as I can. So this scripture is got to be put in context, right? No, when you sit under the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, you're sitting under the anointing. It's Jesus' ministry you're sitting under. Jesus is still teaching you by his spirit, but he's called men and women and placed an anointing upon them to teach you by spirit. Ephesians chapter 4. Read it. Apostles, prophets, pastors, and teacher, what? For the work of the ministry, to become to the fullness of the stature of Christ Jesus, to the fullness of faith in Christ, so that we can empower you to be useful for the work of the ministry. Ephesians. Why? Those gifts are anointed to impart and to unlock your destiny. There's an anointing on those gifts to unlock. They are keys, people. Those gifts are keys to unlock your destiny that's inside of you, to empower you to be who you are supposed to be in Christ Jesus for the work of the ministry. He is the comforter. John 14 and 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he will abide with you forever. If you need comfort, the Holy Spirit is right there. He's the one who comforts you. He's the one that will encourage you. He's the one that will speak encouraging things to you. You've got to build a relationship with him. On Friday night, we had a great service, and I'll tell you what, this scripture was like, this was it. The comforter was there. The intimacy of the Holy Ghost was there. I mean, this guy, I'll tell you. He bubbled through the whole, he sat on the front seat. He's a bubbler, right? He's so centered, the things of God. He was just in the presence of God, and he bubbled his way through the whole sermon, sat in the front row. Why? The Holy Spirit was all over him. The sensitivity. He's sensitive to the Holy Ghost. He's been developing his spirit man, having relationship, and what I'm teaching, he practices. And he's so sensitive. And the services of God, he just becomes so centered of the Holy Spirit. We all can be like that. God's no respecter of persons. But it's much how much will you put in? How much will you penetrate and push in towards God? Nearly finished. Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power. So he's also the empowerer. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of uttermost parts of the earth. Hey, not just witness, but be a witness. Why? Because he will empower you. The Holy Spirit will empower you. Empower who? Your spirit. He'll empower your spirit. He'll empower your spirit by the word of God to empower you so that you can become a witness and live like the light that you're supposed to live and bring people out of darkness into that great light of Jesus. He will empower you. Last one. He gives gifts to men. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another the faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another descending of Spirit, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. It's a whole different teaching, but the Holy Ghost, these are all his gifts. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, descending of spirits. See, people, I've heard people saying over the years, oh, the gifts of the Spirit, I've got this gift. And listen, you haven't got any gift, buddy. They're his gifts. They're his gifts. And as we yield to him, he allows us to speak and to operate in those gifts. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because if they were your gifts, you could operate in them anytime you wanted, but you can't. Right? You can't. That's why you have to rely upon and push into God and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me in these situations, and rely upon him, and he will give you words of wisdom, words of knowledge. But where's he going to give you them? In your spirit. Okay, let's take a break. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Scotsman at the back there. Hallelujah. Come on, Tracy. Come on, baby. Yeah, come on, baby. Do it.
I'm coming. It's too comfortable here. I almost fell asleep over there.
Meditation.
Deep calleth unto deep. Yeah. And I just did. It's just so relaxing after, you know, drive over, and we drove over with these four guys and, you know, and their talk and chat. And I felt Dan was teaching in the car. I thought, oh, I'm meant to do a teaching. I've got Dan's teaching. Then I've got Dan's teaching. I thought, wow, it's time to go home. I've already been taught. Amen. But no, there's more. You see those ads on TV. Wait, there's more. Actually, hubby was firing on all six cylinders tonight. I thought, wow. I thought, I'll just, you just keep going. You just keep going, because I was falling asleep. Anyway, no, it's okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's more. Thank you, Jesus. There's more. Okay, so I'll continue on over the page. He gives fruit to men. All right, the Holy Spirit gives fruit to men. What I thought about this initially, when I looked at it again just earlier, fruit to men, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Now have a think about it, fruit. Think of your favorite fruit. And fruit is sweet. So I love it. We're meant to be sweet for Jesus, amen? And we're not on our own. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. Have a look at Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's who you are. You are a spirit being. I'm not saying that's the fruit of your carnal, worldly flesh, which can be so ugly and want to bite and devour and hate and curse and spit back and have a tantrum. Do adults have tantrums? Yeah. Fess up, come on. Yeah. Envy, jealousy, strife, division. That's all ugly. That's not sweet as. No. So I thank God. I meditate. I love the teaching of the fruit of the Spirit. I meditate deeply on it. I drink it in. I confess the scripture every morning of my life. Every morning I thank God. I say, Lord, I thank you that I am. Who's the I am? You've got your scriptures. I am the fruit of my recreated spirit. It's the fruit of me, my recreated spirit. I am love. I am joy. I am peaceful. I am long-suffering. We need long-suffering, okay? We all need it. We need it all the time, because the only time we're going to arrive to planet perfect is when we go home to be in heaven. So we are always going to be suffering something for a long time. Once something gets right, you know, like, oh, we waited for like, I don't know, we waited for, it seemed like 7 years to be able to purchase a house in New Zealand because you had to have a 20% deposit. In Scotland, they give mortgages away for nothing. Yeah, just have that. Get hitched up. Get in over your head with debt and we'll just repossess your house. I don't care. But they seem to care a bit more here. You know, I was like, yay. I was so, had enough of rentals. And I was suffering for a long time. Then you get your house. Oh, happy days. Next minute, something else, isn't it? You know, like teenagers. What? You're not going to church anymore. What's wrong with you? Oh, you've got your own will. You're doing your own thing. Right, so we're always going to be suffering for a long time in something in life, okay? But Holy Spirit, we're not on our own, okay? We're empowered by Him to be long-suffering. And it doesn't mean suffering long with a sour lemon face. We don't want you to be like that. That's not correct. It just gives you the empowerment to endure for a long time and keep praising God. Amen? You can keep praising God. Get used to it. We're on planet Earth. There's always stuff going to go wrong, all right? So press into your recreated spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and whatever it is you need, press into that with confessing it over yourselves, all right? To me, people that work in a library, lovely, peaceful, nice people. Well, I wouldn't work in a library. I'd get kicked out. I'm loud and noisy, and I like to talk, all right? And I can be impatient with my personality and nature. When God says faith is now, yeah, I'll take that, but that's quite not how it always works out, all right? Okay, so press in to whatever fruit of the Spirit you really need to work on. Just confess those scriptures and you'll build your inner man up. Now, He keeps men from sin. I love it because I need help. I need help not to sin. Like Danny says, you know, I mean, when he's moaning about someone cutting him off, I'm like, I'm fed up with that. I'm the only one hearing it. I don't want to hear it. You're in my space with my music. So don't bother doing it, would you? You know, self-control. Many things in life we have no power to control. Get this. The greatest thing you can control is yourself. Exercise self-control, all right? And then, great, you've got your lips can be zipped. You know, when someone's nasty and unkind to you, don't put a log on the fire. Don't be nasty and unkind back. Don't generate strife. Just control yourself. And you know what? That gives you great power and great dominion in the situation, because you're controlling your carnal flesh, your worldliness, I love it. So Galatians 5:16, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, does that mean that you're walking in the Spirit, walking on a big great cloud in the sky, playing a harp? No, it's not that. It's walking in the revelation of who you are in Christ, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Danny's already covered that, okay? He helps Christians to pray. I love that, okay? Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we or what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, now there's a part of us in life, you know, we can be utilizing our tools of prayer, praying in the understanding, praying in the word, praying in the Spirit, and then there's other times the Holy Spirit will pick up and with us when things are just so, they anguish us so much, or like situations are so desperate, he can actually pray through us. It's like travailing. If you've ever been there, you'll understand what I'm saying. I won't go too much into it, but it's like a travailing, a groaning that comes in, all right, and it's just doing great intercession or birthing something in. That's the Holy Spirit helping us how we ought to pray. For example, my daughter lives on the Gold Coast, so she messaged us last night about that accident, unfortunately, at the theme park with the conveyor belt. Four adults died. You know, I woke up at 1 o'clock this morning and I thought, you know, when you toss and turn, you can't get back to sleep. It's the Holy Spirit. Get up and pray. I got up and I Googled that and I was just praying in tongues because I wanted to. I had compassion. I wanted to pray for those sweet people and their sweet families and the whole area of the Gold Coast. My daughter just lives 10 minutes from there. The Holy Spirit helps us. So I was praying in tongues over that situation, prompted by him, 1 o'clock in the morning. Hello. Wakey, wakey. Mm-hmm. He does that. Just get up and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Beautiful. You could be praying for people that know not how they ought to pray in those situations. Very, very precious. Very precious. 1 Corinthians 14:14 in the Amplified. For I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive, bears no fruit, and helps nobody. I remember, you know, you're first praying in tongues, so a lot of barahakari under hasanda, your brain's going, what on earth are you talking about? Shut up. Shut up now. Carnal mind, it's enmity towards God. Who needs the devil? You've got this carnal mind kicking against the pricks, you know, always, you know, until you learn to walk more in the Spirit. And you just think, shut up, not listening to that. You know, because I had a thought, I'm sitting there, I thought, I'll just let Danny carry on teaching. Oh, shut up, carnal mind. You know, you can, yeah, happens to all of us, all right? Okay, but we're praying in the Spirit. A beautiful, Danny describes it as praying divine mysteries. When you're praying in the Spirit, we're praying out the plans, purposes, and the perfect will of God for ourselves or for other people. How beautiful and divine is that, okay? Because we don't really know what's wrong with everyone. You might look at the outside and their behavior. You have no idea what's going on in their heart. Yeah, hurt people. The least you can do is pray for the Holy Spirit to get in there, for Abba Father to love them, heal them, restore them, save them, whatever is required. Don't be so quick to judge the fruit of their behavioral patterns and think you know what's wrong with someone. You don't. The Holy Spirit does. So we pray. We're empowered to pray in those situations with our heavenly language. No, help me God. I was going to say, we'll do an altar call after this. If you can't pray in tongues, we'll get you. We'll get you downloaded tonight. No, it's not church. Okay, he helps Christians praise. I love it. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding. Oh, Father, I thank you that I'm strong in you, Lord, in the power of your might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I thank you that when my child goes for that job interview, they're going to have favor with you, God, and favor with men. I thank you have ministering angels gathered around about us and all those that are heirs of salvation ministering to us. We are not on our own. All right. I will sing with the Spirit. Danny, can you give us an example of singing in the Spirit? I love it. And of course, singing with the understanding, it's just what Ryan does so beautifully. Thank you, Ryan. I don't have to try and duplicate Ryan. Like I said before, I don't have that gift. All right. We don't need to hear it. Okay, so that's the singing and that's the praying. He helps us to praise. We can readily see from the previous examples that the ministry of our precious Holy Spirit is vital. That means it's highly necessary for success. Do not exclude the Holy Spirit. Benny Hinn wrote a wonderful book saying, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." All right? You know, don't exclude him from your daily contact. Yep, Father, Son, Jesus, Word, Holy Spirit. Help me every single day. I invite him every day. I need help every day. I don't know about you. I need help. I ask him every day, please help me. It's vital in the life of a Christian if the Christian is to benefit from the work of the Holy Spirit and through him. There's times when I've said, Jesus, I just wish that I was during the time of the disciples and I could be walking with you. It must be easy. And he reminds me, I gave you the Holy Spirit. Okay, all right then. Okay, so we're not left without a helper, and we need that help on a daily basis. Right, we're a new creation in God. So at this stage of the teaching, we're going to revise some of the things we've already heard and summarize them before moving on. Okay, so God has prepared a place for himself to dwell in the life of a Christian. 1 Corinthians 3:16 in the Amplified, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, God's sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you. To be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually, that blows me away. Almighty God lives in us individually. I love it. In the old days, he used to live, you know, in the Ark of the Covenant, and they'd carry him around. Blows me away with that too. But he's everywhere. But he lives inside of us. How precious is that? He's not so far away. At times when you think he's far away, or when your emotions are out of control, or the circumstances are out of control, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. That's when you need to draw aside, get into a quiet place. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. He leads me beside waters, quiet and still. You need to get quiet. You need to settle yourself. You need to depart and geographically go away. Or if you can't geographically go away, like I couldn't tonight on the way over. I was on the way over in the car with four guys. I've got the music blaring and Danny's teaching. I'm like inside myself. I went away inside myself. It's possible. It's called meditation because you can't leave the house when you've got half a dozen kids you've got to look after, can you? You can't leave your place of employment. I'll be back in five. I did customer service in banks and medical centres for 26 years. You know, you can't leave the reception area when there's a sea of people or people are queued up. But you can take five. You can go into within that secret place. You can go inside yourself, the secret place of the Most High. You can meditate. You can become God conscious. He's in there. He's like a pool of life. And he'll give you peace. It's like taking a 5-minute holiday break. And just be still and know that I am God. Amen. There's a place for stillness in our lives. We have to locate that and we have to find that. I'd like to locate where I'm up to. Right, hang on. I have turned the page. Okay, it's in a new creation in that where God can now dwell because the human spirit has been cleansed from sin by the blood of Jesus. How precious is that? That tells me our new creation, who we are, is in right standing with God. We are created perfectly on the inside. free from all sin because God can dwell with us on the inside. How beautiful is that? How beautiful. That's a revelation in itself. God wants a vital, that means an essential relationship with the new creation to bring his divine plans and purposes to pass through man. It's so imperative and important that we become like those lights shining in the world, that we get that revelation that we are created in his image. How beautiful is that? That Danny said, there's no condemnation. I love it. You know, in those scriptures I gave you, there's like two different sets. And on one of the sets, one of the Whakatane ladies texts me and goes, oh, you've got, there's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus on the scriptures twice. Did you do that on purpose or was that a mistake? Well, of course it's a mistake. And then I thought, no, actually, Holy Spirit, hang on. Maybe some people need to hear that twice. All right? No condemnation, no guilt. It doesn't matter how you've blown it. You just say, I'm sorry, Lord, like a little kid. You know, like a little kid, they say, sorry to mummy and daddy. And okay, give me a hug. Love you, love you. On we go, don't we? We do. We don't hold it over the head. Get down there and give me 20 press-ups to a little three-year-old. We don't do that. We don't say, no, you go to the naughty seat for the rest of the day, even if we felt like it. We don't do that. No, instant forgiveness. Abba Father's like that. You blow it. I'm very good at this. I say, I'm sorry, Lord, yay. And then I go tiptoeing through the tulips and you know, sometimes it's not always good in a marriage. Like, you know, hubby's looking at me. You should be doing like, you know, doing penance or something, doing time. Yeah, 20 precepts. No, it's instantaneous. And I've got that. I've got that. I love that. I just get over it straight away because God, he gets over it. I love it. I just move on. Okay, so here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 to 20. Move on. And if the people around about you aren't moving on, it's not your problem. Not your problem at all. But don't poke, you know, poke them with a stick. Don't go, nah, 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 move on. Don't do that. That's carnal. Stay in the spirit, all right? It's up to everyone else to move on in their own time, okay? And some may never move on. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 17 to 20. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. It's very detrimental. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We are to live holy lives. Okay, we'll get into that further on. But we are to live holy lives. God is a holy, holy, holy God. The angels around this throne cry, holy, holy, holy God. We're to live holy, sanctified lives. Amen? And God is in us and we are not our own. For we were bought with a price, that's the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, I glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I'm going to read this out now out of the Amplified. But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Shun immorality and all sexual looseness. That's flee from impurity in your thought, word, and deed. Hello? Thought, word, and deed. Wow, that's a big picture. Man, when Dan and I, if we're watching a movie and suddenly there's some funny little thing about a bit of nakedness, we always go, oh, no, don't look now. Don't look, Ethel. Because it's important we don't have before our eye gate anything that might provoke any kind of sexual immorality in our thoughts, words, and deeds. We have to guard our eye gate and our ear gate all the time. Non-stop, billboards, anything, you name it. It's all out there. It's all carnality. Any other sin which a man commits is one outside the body, but he commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. It eats people up. There is a price to pay and there's a death that comes, okay? Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, from whom you've received as a gift from God? You are not your own. Hello? We're not our own. We've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. When we sing that song, you know, I surrender my life to you, Jesus. And we sing that song, I surrender all. And then when he comes for something in your life, I know, you can't have that. Well, stop singing I surrender all because you don't really mean it. I surrender most. We're going to do a rehash of that song. I surrender some, Jesus. I'll have a korerori first. We'll have a chat, discussion. No, we're bought with a price. We don't belong to him. We belong to Jesus. Bible says, glorify him in your body. Amen. We're a temple of the Holy Ghost. Very, very, very precious. Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Okay, it doesn't mean pimples and acne. Okay? He's a holy God. And he wants us to walk in that revelation that we're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because the truth is, that is the bride without spot or wrinkle, the new creation man. Amen? So there is hope for us because in our spirit, yay, we're already there. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Very precious. We don't belong to ourselves. Remember that this week, all right? And learn to walk in the fruit of the spirit of love. Love is not selfish. Amen? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 in the Message translation. With promises like this to pull us on, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. Once again, what are you watching with your eye gate? What are you listening to with your ears? What music are you listening to? What are the lyrics? What is the tempo of the music? No wonder some of these people are crazy out there in the world. They're listening to heavy metal. The lyrics are evil. The beat in that heavy metal in itself is angry, you know? So be careful. And what are we reading? Okay, when we read, we're engaging our imagination. So what are we reading? What are we listening to? What are we watching? Be very careful indeed, because the whole thing, we are temples of the Holy Ghost. We're to be holy in every area and every facet, okay? And what we look at and what we focus on, that's where we're going to go, all right? If you let that lust of the flesh take a little inch, whoo, it's going to take a mile, and you'll draw away from the holiness of God. So be very careful on those three gates that we can have a look at. A conflict of interest. When we become born again, there arises a conflict within us for control of our total being. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, the things I do, I don't want to do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Hello, of course there's a conflict. Surprise, yeah, every day. Every day. You know, bless God. We've been together 29 years. I don't know how many times I thought, I want to get divorced. Can't tell you. There was a conflict between our spirits and our carnality, our worldly nature, our selfishness. All right, there was a conflict going on. But you know what? Love won. Yay. Yay. The Bible says that. Against such, there is no law. We kept on operating in love. We kept on aiming to be like Jesus. And we're getting into that shortly, okay? Aiming to be like Jesus. And it's one day at a time. We can sing that song, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's okay. One day at a time. We can only handle one day. Mm-hmm. I can only handle working on me for today. Tomorrow's another day. Who knows what's coming tomorrow? I don't know. But just today, one day at a time, and there really is no pressure, all right? It's not like a to-do list. I shan't do this. I shan't do that. Just do what you know to do, pressing into Jesus, and the things that you are not meant to do will take care of themselves. They will lop off just like trees, autumn leaves. They just fall off. You don't have to go up there and pick off the old leaves, do you? No, they just fall off, all right, in due season, okay? So press into Jesus, and those old habits, they will pass away. I love it. Dan and I now, we love spending time together. It's wonderful. We are in love again. We do. We love each other. We're like best buddies. And now you've had your time, honey. Sit down. I'm awake now. The clock is off. I'm in eternity. We have forever. Yeah, okay. So a process begins within us to change the direction and values in our life. It meets with opposition from the soul, and so begins the process of sanctification, which is freedom from sin and holiness, okay? Instant and progressive sanctification. Now, instantaneous sanctification was at our conversion. There was an inner change. We became born again. We got a new spirit made in the image of Jesus. Yay! Party time, instantly. Born again. It was beautiful. Yay! Yay! No one told me about the journey. I thought, yay, honeymoon with Jesus. Everything was bright and beautiful, and I was singing in the spirit, and people in the bank were coming up and saying, why are you smiling? This is at the counter. Oh, I'm just so in love with Jesus, you know, and oh, yeah, right, just give me my money, I'm going. Yeah, okay, it was all Jesus, beautiful. And then the journey began. Then the journey of growing up began. Ah, amen. It's a journey, but it's a beautiful journey because we become like Jesus, and he is so beautiful. I'm in love with Jesus. That's why I gave my life to Jesus, because I wanted Jesus. Amen? I'm in love with Jesus. The more you are in love with someone, you actually become like them. You know, like Dan and I, sometimes we end up like dressing, and we dress similar colors, like twins, you know? No, you will never see Danny in this scarf. We draw the line there. You are so pleased. Yeah, but mind you, hey, oh no, I'm naughty. Eh? He does wear a skirt from time to time, brother. Man. Hang on, I know, bring me back. Yeah, he wears a kilt. Yeah, he's Scottish. He wears the kilt. He wears his national dress, okay? Now, his nature, character, and ability and power now indwells us. And he can empower us to lead us into that new way of living. Romans 6:4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism unto death. Okay, our old spiritual nature died. Thank you, God. Now we're alive unto God. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It really is like getting raised from the dead. You know, if have hope. If there's areas within inside of you, we think, oh, I'm just too broken. You know, my heart was broken. It's never going to be the same. No, that's not right. God can, by his spirit, heal your broken heart. He can, by his spirit, restore your soul. He can, by his spirit, make you whole. You can have peace. You can have soundness of mind. There is a hope. You can have your joy restored. I love it. I have this great, infectious joy, Holy Ghost laughter. I love it. The Bible says, though, he gives us the oil of joy for mourning. And I know I came from like a broken marriage and so many things that just didn't work out in my life. Brokenness. But I did that trade-off. Each time I went to Daddy, I did an exchange. And he just gave me more oil of joy. Yay! Okay, yay! So if I can, you can. I can, you can. Do the trade-off. Don't stay stuck in the mud. Do the exchange. Draw closer to Jesus. The Bible says, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. Don't run away from God. Always run to him. You know, it's like little naughty kids, or they've done something naughty, you know. My kids smashed the window once. Could we find them on the farm? No, the two of them up there in the hills. Why? Because I was still activating the rod of correction at that stage. Way gone for hours until, you know, the emotion of the mother angry was going to be diffused. You know, so wise children, wise children. Yeah, thank you, God. Thank you, God. 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the church of God which at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who are in every place, call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both ours and theirs. That's what will happen. We called upon the name of the Lord and we were instantly saved. Wonderful. That was our spirit being. And now progressive sanctification. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Okay, I'm going to, I'll just read that out now. For you are still carnal, that means worldly. For where there is envy, strife, and division amongst you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Okay, so there's a growing up time. Sure, you can involve, you know, we can all get involved in strife and division and argy-bargy, but there comes a time when we have to become accountable. We've got to grow up from that. And we adopt the attitude of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will see the kingdom of heaven, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if anyone gets into arguing with you, don't put another log on the fire. Don't argue back to win like round one. I got round one. Don't do that. Be a peacemaker. Be gentle. A soft answer turns away wrath. A soft answer turns away wrath. You have an ability to do that, and that can diffuse an argument before it really gets out of hand. We need to be diffusers of light in this earth, all right? Because it's natural to the carnal man. Anyone can argue. You don't get any brownie points from that. It's natural to hurt back. But we are called to be supernatural. We're called to be spirit beings created in the image of Jesus. Amen? Take the high road. Take the high road of love. I like it. We're meant to be flying and soaring like eagles, not scratching around with the chickens. Amen? We're meant to be above only and not beneath. We're meant to be far above, okay? And I don't mean like, again, floating around on a cloud, you know, far too spiritual, you know, earthly good. Don't go floating around like they're up there and woohoo, you know, you can't even connect with people. Being spiritual is much more mature than that. Walking in the Spirit is walking in the fruit of our spirit. It's walking in love. You can be so empowered. Walk in love. And it's a choice. Remember, it's not always a feeling. Okay, we don't always feel like loving someone. In fact, sometimes we feel like doing the opposite, don't we? No, I'm not talking to you. No, I won't argue with, but I'm just not even going to talk to you. You're in the bad dog seat for 3 days. Don't do that either. Love people, and it's a decision. Grit your teeth. I asked our pastor in Scotland, we went back 11 years ago, I said, you're always so lovely and beautiful, because, you know, I was exposed to her in my 20s, and I just thought, wow, you're just above and beyond. You're like way out there, the epitome of love. So 11 years ago when I was older, we went back, I said, what was your secret? You know what she said? I always do the opposite to what my flesh wants to do, and she exercised self-control. I thought, oh, wow. Then I thought differently of her, because I just thought she was like way out there, you know. But she actually was beautiful, beautiful woman of God, and it gave me hope. I thought, we're not always going to feel like we're this love bubble, because we're not going to be exactly like Jesus till we go home. It's called progressive developing to be like Jesus. Amen. It's beautiful. It's like one day at a time. And there's no pressure. Okay. Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He woos us. Okay. He's a pure, pure gentleman. Okay. So these believers were obviously not living up to their position in Christ. Remember, in Christ, we're above circumstances. We're seated in heavenly places. They were still being carnal or worldly, allowing the flesh to rule their lives. Hey, if we do that, we're no different to the sinners. People won't be able to, there's a Christian. I need to go and ask that person for direction. And I'm talking eternal direction. If we behave like we're Christians, like we're born again, the image of Jesus, people will know and see the light, and they'll be drawn to that light, and they'll come to Jesus in us. Amen. Amen. We don't need to be carnal. We don't need to be worldly. We don't need to behave like the sinners. They are sinners because they don't have Jesus helping them. All right? It is our responsibility to live up to our position in Christ, and God expects us to go through progressive and continuous changes as we grow spiritually. It's just beautiful. When we press into Him, you know, it can be like months, and suddenly you turn around and go, hey, I don't even do that anymore. Or, hey, I've lost that attitude. I used to have a bad attitude towards so-and-so. And now, because I stepped out by faith and I love them on purpose by faith, I don't even have a bad attitude towards them anymore. Where did that go? Squashed by love. Yay. Love conquers all. Love wins. Choose the high road. Choose love. It wins every time. It wins every time. Supernatural. It is supernatural. It is above the natural. Okay? And remember, it's not feely-feely, touchy-touchy, and it's not friendly-friendly. I'm your friend if you're my friend. I'll give you a present for your birthday if you give me a present for my birthday. No, that's not pure agape, God's highest kind of love. Love just loves, keeps loving, beyond me. It's Abba Father's love, amen? He helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us with that. Philippians 2:12. All right, so Philippians 2:12. I just want to read that out of the Amplified. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestion, so now not only with the enthusiasm that you would show in my presence, but much more because I'm absent, work out, that means cultivate, carry out to the goal and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. That means self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Amen. I love that version. Remember, the carnal mind is enmity towards God. That includes my carnal mind and your carnal mind. Like I said, who needs the devil when we have to contend with our carnal mind? Sometimes that's enough. So many people go, oh, the devil's on my case. No, it's your carnal mind. You've got to get rid of your bad temper. You know? So get that under control, and the way we do it is walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Summary, our human spirit has various aspects that need to be clearly understood to eliminate any confusion in our life, okay? That's where the rest of this teaching is going to teach you, spirit, soul, and body. All right, spirit, soul, and body. The main areas of the human spirit consist of the intuition, which I love, communion with God, which I love too, communion with the Holy Spirit, and our conscience. We must be careful to keep a clear conscience, as it can become seared. That means burnt out, worn out, or rendered insensitive. Amen? Amen. Right, we're just going to pray so this gets sealed. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that in Jesus' name, for the rest of this week and the rest of our lives, Holy Spirit, bring back to our remembrance the words that we have heard in times of need. Holy Spirit, help us to work out this progressive sanctification so we may be more like Jesus, that we may be keepers of you, Holy Spirit. You dwell inside of us, that we could work towards holiness. And we worship you now, Father. We acknowledge you that you live on the inside of us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you're our helper. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you paid the price with your precious blood, that we do not belong to ourselves, that we belong to you, Jesus. Help us to serve you. Help us to be a blessing to mankind, to a world that is lost. Help us, Holy Spirit, to take the high road, to walk in love so that we can be a beacon of hope, a beacon of light to an unsaved world that's lost and needs you, Jesus, and needs to find eternal salvation. We worship you now, Father, and we thank you. Bless everyone as they go and as they travel, and bless their fellowship and bless the rest of their week. Father, may they have something special happen to them because of your love for them as a daddy, in Jesus' name. Amen.